I invite you to turn in your Bibles once again to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 6. I'm going to be reading together and looking at verses 20 through 29. Tonight we continue to look at the Catechism's exposition of the Ten Commandments. We've reached the seventh commandment, "You shall not commit adultery." Proverbs chapter 6, beginning at verse 20. Read through the end of verse 29. Hear God's word. "My son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress. Do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by means of a harlot a man is reduced to a crust of bread, and an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Can a man take fire to his bosom, and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals, and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent." As far as reading God's Word. Now I invite you to turn in the back of your Psalter hymnals to Lord's Day 41. It's found on page 54. Page 54, Lord's Day 41. As with the other commandments, Heidelberg shows us that the seventh commandment, "You shall not commit adultery," extends far beyond the statement itself, specifically the faithfulness or unfaithfulness of married individuals. Lord's Day 41, page 54, I'll ask the question, let's respond together with the answers. Question and answer 108, what is God's will for us in the seventh commandment? God condemns all unchastity. We should therefore thoroughly detest it, and married or single, live decent and chaste lives. Does God in this commandment forbid only such scandalous sins as adultery? We are temples of the Holy Spirit, body and soul, and God wants both to be kept clean and holy. That is why He forbids everything which incites unchastity, whether it be actions, looks, talk, thoughts, or desires. Beloved congregation of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, several years back, there was a news story that closely paralleled Solomon's warnings in Proverbs concerning those who would break the seventh commandment. And in particular, the lengthy proverb found in chapter 7, where Solomon writes of a young man being lured by an adulteress. And there he describes him as an ox going to the slaughter. Well, the real life incident took place near Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. It involved four teenagers, one of whom was set up and murdered by his supposed best friend along with two other teens. The victim had earned $500 working for his father, and the other teens wanted the money for drugs. The 16-year-old victim was lured into a small patch of woods. He was brutally murdered and robbed of that money. One of the three teens later admitted, "We partied beyond redemption." But the most shocking part of the story was that one of the killers was in fact a 15-year-old girl. And she was the one who actually lured the victim to the woods by promising him sex. Lacking any sense or self-control, this young man followed her and he lost his life and he lost his very soul for it. After her capture and after her conviction for the murder, this teenage girl wrote a letter from prison which included the lines, "I am a cold-blooded death worshiper who survives by feeding off the weak and the lonely. I lure them and then I crush them." Words of a 15-year-old girl. It's shocking. And so you see Solomon's words of warning here in Proverbs 6, where he compares sexual sins to scooping fiery coals in one's lap, are no exaggeration. Indeed, we do well to carefully consider the seventh commandment and the consequences brought upon those who break it. So there'll be 3 points in tonight's message. First, we're going to look at the temptation to break this seventh commandment. And then second, the trouble brought by breaking this commandment. And then finally, some necessary tools and tactics for overcoming these temptations. Well, first, the temptation to break the seventh commandment. Look here in chapter 6 of Proverbs, verse 24. "To keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress." And of course, there Solomon is referring to God's law as a means of protection. Well, in that verse, we find the first of two types of temptations, two types of enticements. And this first type is those that come from the outside, the external temptations. And in this particular case, it's an immoral, seductive woman. And here she's described as both evil and as an outsider or a stranger to the covenant community. In other words, she has no loyalty to the God of Israel. And notice there in that verse that she's a huntress. She's someone who's on the prowl. She's seeking a target. She's seeking prey. Second part of verse 26. "An adulteress will prey upon his precious life." So not only is this temptress a parasite or a predator, she's a killer. A murderer. And if not physically, certainly relationally and spiritually. And she's symbolic of and a type or a picture of all such external sources of sensual temptation. Living as we do in our technologically advanced world, these sorts of tempters, these external temptations, no longer need face-to-face contact. No need a face-to-face encounter with their target in order to snare, to capture, and to kill. No, as we look around us, we see that they've extended their reach and access by the means of TV, music, celebrities, and now especially through the internet and its social media, via smartphones and iPods, computers and game consoles. In the past decade or so, there's been a rapid shift away from TVs and movies to far more private and personal internet encounters. And as bad as TV was and is, as a purveyor and promoter of immorality, it is now dwarfed by what the internet is able to bring to its users. It's a venue filled with tempters that wear many faces and take on many forms. And tempters that are willing and able to meet their targets anytime and anywhere. And of course, these tempters pop up at places on the internet that should be family friendly. Places like news and information sites and even children's sites, where temptation is dangled through advertisement photos and links from there. And so the red light district is ever only a click away or a touch of that touch screen away. If you use the internet, you know this. And pretending not to see it doesn't make it any less true. which probably means, among other things, that you're already desensitized to it. Back here in Proverbs chapter 6, beginning in verse 24, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of the seductress, do not lust after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. Well, here we find then Solomon pointing to several different methods used by those tempting others to sexual sin. And he mentions here, among others, flattery and flirtation, where the target is made to feel good about themselves. Guys will sweet talk and then pressure the ladies. If you really love me, you will. Or you owe me. Or what's wrong with you? And of course, ladies tempt by dress, facial and body language, and now more and more by actually throwing themselves at their target. Words, body language, expressions, inviting, alluring, suggestive communication, all of these are put to work. Verse 25, as the NIV has it, do not lust in your heart after her beauty, or let her captivate you with her eyes. Of course, eyes are the window to the soul, and are oh so powerful in giving and in receiving temptation. Ask yourself tonight, what are the eyes of your coworkers or classmates or neighbors communicating to you? Deep down you know. Are you playing with fire? And so we have here tempters who are using everything they have to entice. Words, looks, dress, body language, intoxicants, seductive imagery, dance, photos, peer pressure, social acceptance. You see, all of us, whatever our age, swim in a sea of immodesty, permissiveness. All of this tends to desensitize and to bring us down. Think of things like explicit selfies, provocative forms of dancing. They have different terms associated with them. All of these have gone mainstream. Even among teens, even among young teens. There are so many different expressions of such immodesty. And all of them twist and deform God's gift of sex. They demystify it. They devalue it. They tempt and they confuse. They destroy innocence and any sense of boundaries. And in the end, they destroy lives and relationships and souls. Now we're immersed in this sea of external sources of temptation with respect to the seventh commandment. But of course, as descendants of Adam and Eve, we have this fallen nature, a nature that's internally prone to sin and to break God's law. Again, verse 25, do not lust in your heart after her beauty. Do not lust in your heart after her beauty. Lusting, desiring, coveting. What the tempter is offering and what isn't yours to have. Again, Solomon is pointing here to our old nature's predispositions, its tendencies, its longings, its desires. He's drawing attention to what's going on within our minds and hearts. Indeed, all of sin begins deep down inside of us. Sins of word and action begin with thoughts and desires. That's why Jesus labeled lustful thoughts as adultery, and not as something that's neutral or as something somewhat naughty. Matthew 5, beginning at verse 27, he said, you have heard it was said unto those of old, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So here Jesus is calling His people. He's calling us to reevaluate, to think about, to consider carefully our thought life. To be honest in seeing and addressing where we're allowing our minds to wander off to. For where our thoughts and desires go, you can be sure that our eyes, our hearts, and even our bodies will eventually follow. And so we just confess together with question and answer 108. God condemns all unchastity. Question and answer 109. We are temples of the Holy Spirit, body and soul. That is why He forbids everything which incites unchastity, whether it be actions, looks, talk, thoughts, or desires. You see, as Adam's descendants, sin has affected every area of our humanity. And so it's also twisted God's beautiful design for love and for procreation, for pleasure and for human bonding. Gifts that are wonderful, but also powerful, potent, either for good or for ill. Internal and external temptations, working in tandem. And the result is the sin and lawlessness of our world today, and perhaps also of our lives. Temptation to break the seventh commandment. Well, secondly, let's consider together the trouble that's brought by breaking the seventh commandment. Again, here in chapter 6 of Proverbs, beginning in verse 27. Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes in to his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. So here Solomon is teaching and warning that the consequences of these sensual sins are certain. If you bring fire into your lap, you'll be burned. Both you and those around you as well. Notice how the sins against the seventh commandment dehumanize and degrade those involved. Back in verse 26. For by means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. See, sins against the seventh commandment lower the sinner to the level of bread or a piece of meat or an animal driven by instinct. These sins devalue and destroy one's good name and reputation. Destroy one's integrity, one's relationships. They diminish and devalue the sinner's estate, his or her wealth, the treasury, perhaps of youth and vigor that they might have. Think again about the parable of the prodigal son and the wreck and ruin that fell on that younger son, where we read in Luke 15, verse 30, that he squandered his large inheritance on prostitutes and debauchery. You see, it goes beyond personal possessions, assets, and treasures. Other things are depleted. In the second part of verse 26, an adulteress will prey upon his precious life. Solomon's reminding us that we not only risk our possessions, but our health and strength as well. In fact, our very lives. Even as that teen that talked about at the beginning of the message found out. Crime, drugs, abortion, diseases like HIV, drug-resistant forms of STDs, and the terrorism that we saw even this day. In fact, recent studies have found that the average life expectancy of a prostitute here in America is age 34. And in fact, that they are 51 times more likely to be murdered than the next closest occupation, that being liquor store clerks. 51 times more likely to be murdered. Indeed, to break the seventh commandment is to sin against God. And it is to sin against their own bodies and lives as well. Something that Paul draws attention to in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 18. He writes, every sin that a man does outside of his body, every sin that a man does is outside his body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. And in Hebrews 13, verse 4, we read, God will judge fornicators, sexually immoral, and adulterers. So those who break the seventh commandment bring trouble upon themselves. Without question, they bring trouble upon themselves. They risk losing their lives and their immortal souls. And it's the principle of sowing and reaping. If you sow the wind, God has promised that you will reap the whirlwind. Again, here in Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 27, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? Yes, this sin impacts you, but it also impacts those around you. The scorching, the burning. This fire brought by persistent sin, first of all, will sear the sinner's conscience. Desensitizes it. It kills it. It's clear, obvious, evident that pornography addicts begin in one place, but spiral downward to ever darker places. And the unrepentant often transform from victim to victimizer, transforming from the prey to the predator. You think about all the exploitation of women and children going on around our world. A life that is so horrible that death is preferable. At the very least, marriages, families, friendships, and reputations become casualties of this infidelity. That fire spreads. Its destructiveness spreads from the initial person. Sins of sensuality are sure and certain to bring trouble into your life. They're the route to suffering, misery, and death. They burn and they blister. They bring a firestorm of destruction. Solomon says here, beware and be warned. The temptation to break the seventh commandment, the trouble brought by breaking the seventh commandment. Thirdly and finally, let's consider some sound and scriptural tools or tactics for believers regarding this commandment. Again, turning here to Proverbs 6, beginning in verse 20. Solomon says, my son, keep your father's command, and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. When you roam, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. So in these verses here, we find Solomon giving us some ways of fireproofing our homes and our lives. And notice, first of all, how he draws attention to the importance of godly parenting. Something that is absolutely essential in our sexually charged culture and society. And we as parents are to teach not our personal opinions or ideas, but God's Word. Again, verse 23 here in Proverbs 6, the commandment is a lamp and the law a light. Reproofs of instruction are the way of life. We have a proverb similar to the familiar words of Psalm 119, verse 105, where the psalmist writes, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So dads and moms, we're to bring the light of God's word into the lives of our children. We are to speak to them about these matters. Age appropriately, certainly, but frankly and openly. Speak to them about God's will concerning this seventh commandment and about purity. And at the same time, exemplify and model for them the life that God has called us to live. Remember, parents, our children are watching us 24/7. They see every example of our hypocrisy. And they're also watching how we treat our spouses. Loving affection, fidelity, Christ-likeness. These far outshine whatever the world has to offer. So important how good our marriages are, how strong they are, how real they are. Godly parenting demands commitment, demands awareness. Most of all, requires God's grace and Spirit. And so it requires prayer. Remember, we're the Lord's holy temples. Sexual impurity turns you and your body, instead of a temple, into a house of ill repute. Don't grieve this Holy Spirit. See, whatever your age, whether young or old, this is God's will for you. The seventh commandment applies to all of us, whether we're married or single. 1 Thessalonians 4, beginning in verse 3. Paul writes, "For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in holiness and honor, not in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." The Lord couldn't have been more clear and unequivocal with respect to this issue of purity. Verse 22, here in Proverbs 6. "When you roam," speaking to a son, "and God's law, they will lead you. When you sleep, they will keep you. When you awake, they will speak with you." And here Solomon is calling all of us, but especially the young, to take these matters seriously. Take them seriously. Well, fireproofing your home and life also requires you to know where and how to use the exits. Again, this begins by recognizing the deadliness of these sorts of sin and temptation. And so I encourage you to read and reread this book of Proverbs. The seventh commandment is front and center for those who are seeking to be wise. And wise don't play with matches or gasoline, but instead they run away from temptation. The text that we looked at briefly earlier, 1 Corinthians 6, beginning in verse 18, Paul writes, "Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside his body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Flee, run away from sexual immorality. And you see, to see this danger coming requires vigilance. It requires wariness, alertness, seriousness. 1 Corinthians 10, beginning in verse 12. Paul writes, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall. No temptation has overtaken you, such as that which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond which you are able. But with the temptation will also make a way of escape, so that you may be able to bear up under it." Take heed, lest you fall. Know when to run. See the danger coming. Watch and pray. Be alert. Be on guard. And stay away from temptation as much as you are able. Run away from tempters. Don't play foolish games when it comes to this sort of fire. You'll win the prizes for such foolishness. You'll get burned. Well, later on in this book, Solomon asks a rhetorical question. "Who can say that I've made my heart clean? I am pure from my sin." Proverbs 20, verse 9. Who can say that? The answer, of course, is no one. You see, we've all been scorched by this sort of fire. It's simply a matter of degree. For you, has it been mostly first-degree burns? Or perhaps the more serious second- and third-degree burns? Whatever the case, remember that there's only one spiritual burn center. There's only one who can bring hope and healing and life. And that's our Lord Jesus Christ. Those badly burned by sexual sins or by any sin for that matter, we'll find forgiveness and healing through faith in Him, through repentance and turning away from that sin and turning toward Christ. And yes, these particular sins leave scars. Scars in one's life. And yet we know that God pardons those who repent, even as we see in David's life. In John 8, we read the account of a woman who was caught in the act of adultery. One wonders where the man was, but she's brought to Jesus by the Pharisees, and they brought her to Him in order to trap Him. And they noted to Him that the law of Moses required that this woman be stoned for her sin. And as the account unfolds, we find that Jesus at first doesn't say anything. He simply stoops down and writes in the dust. But finally, He responds to their persistent demands, and He says to the woman's accuser, "He who is without sin, let him be the first to throw the stone." With that, Jesus is affirming Moses' law concerning the gravity of this particular sin. And yet His final words to this guilty woman, who's eventually left standing alone, ring with grace and with hope. Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." You see, Christ came in order to suffer and to die for sinners, to save sinners, including sinners guilty of sexual immorality and adultery. Remember that 15-year-old girl who lured the teenage boy to his murder? This one who wrote from prison, "I'm a cold-blooded death worshiper who survives by feeding off the weak and the lonely." Well, sometime later, her older sister began receiving letters from the younger sister who's in prison. But now these letters had a very different content. These letters testified to the power of the gospel. The letters coming from this young woman had become filled with Christ Jesus, filled with faith and forgiveness through our Savior. You see, the gospel's for sinners, especially for those who are badly burnt. Go to Jesus and find in Him healing and salvation. And then go and leave your life of sin. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we confess before You this evening our sinfulness, that whether we're young or old, male or female, married or single, without exception, all of us have broken the seventh commandment in one way or another. And so we ask that You would forgive us of all of our sinful thoughts, all of our sinful words and actions, that You would do so for the sake of Jesus. We pray that You would grant us much grace to fight against our sinful tendencies, that by Your Spirit You would enable us to flee from temptation. Help us to fight then the good fight of faith, that we would be more pure, more holy, even as we look to Christ and understand that in Him we stand safe and secure. Yes, we ask and pray in His name. Amen.